Good morning once again. What a privilege to be here two Sundays in a row. Wow. It's my privilege, really, to be here. I'm very happy to be here, and I thank you for the invitation. Now, a lot of people ask me, what do you do all the time? And I would just like to share for the first 2 minutes, since we're all in the same family, we're part of the family of God, and you support me financially and also prayerfully, which is more important, prayerfully. And this week has been just like any other week for me. For instance, this morning I was about 5:30, and I won't stop probably till 11 o'clock tonight. And most days are around that way. Well, for instance, Monday, after I left the wonderful funeral service, I went to a school just over here with these three other men, and we gave out approximately 300 New Testaments. We stand on the corner, and when the kids come out, "Hi, how are you? God bless you. Merry Christmas. Got a gift for you." And we do that for about 45 minutes. Well, I do that. Some of them just stand there, but I mean, there's different characters, of course, and God uses us all, doesn't he? So that's what we did Monday afternoon. And of course, during the week, we did the same thing in other situations. And then yesterday, for instance, I spent a day very interesting, and these are Bibles here. And what I did, I went downtown to Chinatown and went to a friend's house, and this is in the room, the social room of an apartment. And you can see what's on the tables there. It's gold. It's worth more than gold. Those are scriptures. And what we did, and I didn't plan it, I went there, I was the oldest person, and most of these people are not Gideons, and the ones that organize it have been only Gideons for the last year or so. But what we did, we sat down all afternoon, and we put stickers into the Bibles. And then the Bibles, and we had people from seven different nationalities. Some didn't even speak English. And we would be there, "Ni hao, ni hao ma," or it would be "Mabudi, mabudi po," or we'd be there, "Ole, que tal, como estas?" It was like heaven. And all of these people worked for the same goal or the same reason. And every one of those New Testament, over 1,000 of them, had little stickers in it. So when somebody received that, which I'll show you how they receive it, they will receive it with markers in it to help them find Jesus. And then what they do with these Bibles, they put tracts in them. They put a candy, thank you. They put a candy in it, they wrap it up in cellophane, and they look like this. And then these people, they go and they deliver them. And how do they do that? Well, there's different ways. Now, this was done just before the cold weather came, but you know who these two people are. Yeah, you're right. Jehovah's Witnesses. But on the other side of that, here are some orangutan Gideons, and they're playing the bongo drums and playing music. And what are they doing? They're giving out Bibles to people at the Joyce Road station. Now, these other group of people who are out of the box, they dress up like angels. Now, I've never dressed up like an angel, and I haven't got any wings. But anyway, here we are again giving out Bibles. I was on a ship 2 weeks ago and giving out Bibles. And then we're giving out a calendar to the captain of a boat of 3,000 people, telling them that Jesus loves them, thanking them for allowing the Gideons to put Bibles in the rooms on the boat. And these are different things we do. Now, why do we do that? Because we believe the word of God. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I send it." That is why we do it. I don't speak 20 languages, but these Bibles speak all those languages. And for instance, the Word of God all says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. So I would ask you all to pray for the different things we do during the week. And I thank you. Now, this is a little bit on the Gideons, but I also preached once this week and visits and hospitals and all that kind of stuff. And these are the kind of things that we do. And so I thank you so much for supporting me and being with me. Now, today, we're going to finish off Hebrews. Last week, we talked on Hebrews chapter 10, and we spent both meetings. Today, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 25. So if you'd like to turn in the scripture with me, and I'm going to call up Mr. Lee, who's going to read it for us. You follow along in your Bible. I don't have it up on the screen because we have to practice using our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 25.
Good morning. Hebrews 13, 1 through 25. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if charged with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with the various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, in desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Father God, we thank you once again for the public reading of your scriptures, of the word. We thank you for it's powerful, it's sharper. We've seen that already this morning. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll work through me and work through your word by the working of your Holy Spirit, and that we'll be blessed and encouraged and challenged by this chapter 13 of Hebrews. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And thank you. Well, we've got a wonderful 20 minutes to take a look into this and see what God has for us. Very practical theology. That's what I am, practical theologist. I am not a theologian, but I think and I try to be very practical in my way of thinking and my way of living. And this is the end of a very, very heavy book. Hebrews is wonderful. I have spent literally all year in it. And I have preached on every word, every chapter, every syllable, and I've just been so encouraged. And to finish off with this practical chapter, I'm sure we'll be blessed, especially at this time of the season. Giving reason, it talks about here. And it's very interesting that we have here, again, just got to learn how to, here we go. Yes. Getting on with real living, practical theology. That's what we're going to be reading about, and that's what we're going to be studying about. And it's even going to be talking about angels. And that's a very interesting subject, and we're not going to spend too much time in it. But as we heard from it being read so beautifully, keep on loving each other as brothers. As brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels in the Word of God is very, very prevalent. And the verse 16 of this chapter says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased." We are to do good to one another. That's what this whole book is about. And we know that God has sent angels all through the scripture. Daniel in the lion's den, for instance. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ left to go up to heaven, angels were present. We find him that he was visited also by Mary and Joseph. And all through the scriptures, we find angels visiting man. And we are to do good to others. We are to entertain others in the sense that they could be angels. That's what it says right here. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Very practical. So we are to be to do good to one another. Well, what does it mean to do good to one another? Well, you know, last week we talked a little bit about the golden rule and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about real faith and really practical doing good to others. In our culture, we want results. I mean, in business, we want results. In our assembly ministries, we want results. For Jesus, of course, we want to see people come to, we want results. But results come by doing. We can't just sit back and not do anything. We have to be proactive. We have to help people. We have to encourage people. We have to do what we can to win the trust of others. And we talked a little bit about this once before in regards to helping others. But this is what it says here. Do good to others. And as we read this chapter over and over in John chapter 5, 12 and other verses, it says that we are to pass from death to life. But that's for us in our eternal view, in our eternal esperanza, hope. In our eternal espoir. That's what we from pass from death unto life. We find that in John 5:24. But we are to be practical in our everyday living. And that's why I like this chapter so well. His values in treatment of others. We must treat others in such a way that we can win their confidence, win the right, win the opportunities to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Others, not me. Today we live in a society that it's all about me. I deserve this. I deserve that. If I want this, I'm going to get this. I need this. But do we really spend the time, as if we're going to find in chapter 13, are we spending time thinking of others? How can we help others? How can we encourage others? We have to be proactive. Now, we saw those pictures of those people outside of the box. Can you imagine seven ladies putting on wings, dressing up like angels? I'm just saying it's something different. I didn't dress up like an angel. But they're out there on the streets of Vancouver, British Columbia, giving out these care packages with the word of God in it. Whether to dress up like an angel, do it or not, I'm not going to go into that. It's straight. But they are trying to get the word out. How about those guys on the corner playing the bongo drums and guitars so people slow down to listen to the Latin music? And what do? They get a Bible instead of just walking right by like that. I mean, these are things that we have to look into. How can we? It is not a passive rocking chair experience your Christian faith. I remember when I lived in the Belle Province of Quebec, I would meet people and they'd be sitting there. They'd be rocking back and forth in their chair. And they'd say, "Lord, give me work. I need work." I would tell them to get out of that chair, go down and leave your resumes in all the different places and look for a job. And we as Christians, we have to get out of our inabilities, we've got to get out of ourselves, and we've got to get out there, and we've got to help our neighbors, encourage our neighbors. And at this time of the season, what a wonderful time to do that. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews is telling us to do and to think about. Very important chapter. Now, we're going to tackle this in looking at the rules for living. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 17. We're going to look at some rules for living. That's what we have right in this chapter. And under that title, we're going to look at Christians' social rules, Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 6. We have rules and regulations as Christians. And the writer, whether it was Paul or not, I don't know, but the writer tells us that. Christians' spiritual rules, we find in chapter 13, 7 to 17. And then the second subject we're going to talk, Christians' living requires strength. And of course, we get strength through prayer required. And also, we have the blessing and the farewell of I believe, the Apostle Paul, or the writer of Hebrews. Are you ready to go? We've got an outline of it. We've looked at it. And let's see what God has for us in this book. Okay. So we're going to start off focus. We've got to focus. We've got to realize that there's rules for living. That is so important. Rules for living. We're in a race. We're in a battle. And when you're in a race or in a battle, there's rules and regulations. We heard a little bit about that this morning, about the generals and how they plan and organize for strategize to win a battle. Well, we are in a battle. We as Christians, never as before, we've been in such a battle. We are the bad guys out there, but we aren't the bad guys. We've got the good news, but there are rules. And I think the writer of this book tells us those rules, and we're going to look into them. This letter concludes by the encouraging believers to apply their faith in every situation and relationship. Christians cannot rewrite the rule book of the race for their own convenience. This is our rule book. And the writer here gives us some very precise rules that we have to follow. And if we want a success in our Christian experience, or if we want to be happy, if we want to be joyful, if we want to be having life with abundance, we have to follow the rules. We cannot rewrite the rules. And we have to do it with integrity and commitment. Those are two things we find here. God wants us to demonstrate the reality of our faith by being people of integrity. We have to be different, and we have to be committed. When I come in this morning and I saw these presents, I thought they were for me. I don't know who did it, but it's beautiful. That's what I call commitment. And we've got to, I mean, even these, I looked at these this morning, fantastic. Praise God. I'm not praising anybody who did it. I don't know who did it. But that's what is called commitment. And we've got to be committed to the Lord. We give glory to God by remaining unwaveringly in our commitment to follow Christ. God's way is a committed way. Jesus was committed to do what? To do the will of the Father. Are we committed to doing the will of the Father? Or are we wishy-washy? In our thinking, it tells us here, in our thinking, in our words, and our actions should be all committed to Christ. What I do, how I say it, where I go, how I express myself, it should be all under the commitment of the Lord. And we find that here. Keep on loving each other, brothers. Do not forget to entertain. Remember those. And it goes on and it gives us rules and regulations. And that's what we're going to look into. Rule for living. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 17. And these are rules that we have to follow. And God wants us to follow them. And that's certainly. And it presents a way that we can express, we can prove, we can show, we can exhibit our faith. I can say to people, I have faith, 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 faith. But as James says, show me your faith by your works. And one of the main ways is to love one another. And sometimes we're not always loving, are we? At least I'm not. But it is an exhortation. Keep on loving one another. Love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if you don't get along, find ways to get along. Work around it. A lot of times with our different cultures and languages and backgrounds and so on, it's difficult, but let's work at it. I can remember one time I went down to the Hindu temple down here, and I went down there and I took my shoes off and I sat in that temple. I said, Lord, give me a love for these people. Lord, I want to love these people. I want to be their friend. And the Lord, help me. And I just love those Sikh people. And I want to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I had to get over some hurdles. I had to get over hurdles. Different language, different culture, different food. Oh, but now I can enjoy them. And many times I've sat in the homes cross-legged with my hands eating my food. So we have to love one another. That's a rule from the Lord himself. We see it in scripture here. Very important. Another thing that scripture talks to us a lot about is hospitality. How many times did I go with Harold Budd to have lunch? Every time I used to come here and preach, Harold and his lovely wife would say, come on, let's see. Hospitality. We have to go out of our way of thinking and be hospitable to strangers, it says. That's what it says here. Look at that. We are to be hospitable to strangers, not just to friends. We're not going to get any reward being hospitable to friends, but we are to be hospitable to strangers. Remember the two disciples walking down the road going towards Emmaus? They met a stranger, and they invited the stranger to eat with them. And who was that stranger? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. So when you see that person on the street and he looks tired, discouraged, upset, don't give him money. Say, let's go have a sandwich one place or another. We have to be hospitable. Now, I used to take people home all the time. I got in trouble for it because it's dangerous today to take people home. I used to take people, strangers, home. And I remember when I was a teenager, I used to miss the morning meeting to go down, pick up people, take them home, have breakfast with them, and then go to the family Bible hour. I got in trouble, and I was rightly got in trouble. I was overzealous maybe. But now what I do, I say, well, let's go over to Denny's and have a hamburger. Or let's go over to McDonald's. It's even cheaper. Let's have a hamburger and free coffee for seniors. So you've got to invent ways to be like these two disciples who invited, because that's what the Bible says here, that we are to take care of strangers. Yes? Angels. It could be an angel. And you know, when we think of Gideon, Gideon was visited by an angel. And God works through not angels to us today necessarily. He works through the Holy Spirit. And I hope and he's going to convict you and I to be more hospitable and more open to others. And that is so important. And then as we read on here, it talks about visiting those in prison. Look, that's what the Word of God. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Now, the writer was writing to the Jewish people, and many of the Jewish people who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ were put into prison. Now, the writer here is saying to them, visit them. But let's take this, let's apply this to our own life in 2015, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. How many people are in prison spiritually? How many people are under the domination or the control of Satan? We are called to visit them, to take care of them. Even if they are different in our thinking. Maybe it's that person had the abortion down the street. God loves him. How about that person, that man that lives with a man? What are we going to do? We're going to tell him about Jesus. How about that woman that lives with a woman? We're going to tell him about Jesus. We might not agree with their lifestyle. We might not believe in what they're thinking. But it says, visit those in prison. They're in prison from sin. And what a joy to tell them about Jesus. How many times, right, people say, what kind of work you do? Well, I'm a missionary. Oh, well, curtain comes right down. That's a barrier between us. And then I'll say something that you know, I said, yeah, but you know why I do missionary work? Because I love Jesus and I want to tell you about Jesus because I love you and Jesus. If you don't love me, I'm this, that, or that. Yes, I do. I love you. I don't love your sin. I'm a sinner too. And we've got to visit those in prison. And that's what the Bible says. You might not be able to go to Kent. That's a prison out by Mission. You might not be able to go to Mountain. These are all prisons that I've visited over the years. No, but people are in prison in your neighborhood, in your apartment, in your place of living. And God wants you to visit them. And what a wonderful time of the season to do it. Visit them. Invite them to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Invite them out for a hamburger, a cup of coffee at McDonald's or Starbucks. That's what God wants us to do. And it's so important. That's what he's saying right here in the last chapter. Then as we go along in the scripture, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immorality. Keep your life from the love of money. So we have to work on our relationship. We who are married. I've been married 49 years. Next year, Gloria has put up with me for 49 years. That's a long time. That's just about a half a century. That's just about five decades. But we have to work at it. And I encourage you to work at it so the young people will look at you and say, because today, over 50% of the people get divorced. Even in the Christian realm, many people are getting divorced. But we, as Christians that want to do what God tells us to do in Hebrews chapter 13, we've got to work on our relationships if you're married. Are you with me? Sometimes it's not easy. At least it hadn't always been easy for Gloria. Then we talk about money. Look at verse 5. Keep your lives from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What a beautiful promise that is. Covetousness is a sin. Coveting. I want more money, more this, more that. We've got to not have that love of money. Love of money is dangerous, for it lures believers away from their commitment. And many people lose their integrity because of the love of money. And the writer here says to us, we say in Spanish, ojo, be careful, look out for the love of money. Why do people many times don't attend our churches? Because they're working on Sunday. Some have to work, don't get me wrong. But if you're working on Sunday just to make more money, and I know you're not because you're here. God bless you, and he's going to bless you. I know he will. But if you could share this message with others, people who have to work on Sundays, that's a different thing. And I'm certainly not going to judge them. Then as we go on, we find in verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their ways of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is the same yesterday. We are to respect them, our leaders. And you find this later on. We're going to talk a little bit later on in verse 20. But this is turning now from social rules to spiritual rules. And we are to honor and respect and obey those who rule over us. And we are to respect those elderly than we are. Is that not practical theology? Is that not something that we can grab onto and try to live? Some things I don't understand in Scripture. I can study them and study. You're going through Revelation. I'm praying for you. I really am praying for you because it's a hard book. There's things in Revelation, and I spoke on it a couple of years ago. I spent the whole year on it. There's still things I don't understand. I should come. If I had time, I'd love to come and sit under the ministry here. But this we can understand. This we can try to practice. This we can ask God to say, hey, I understand. I've got to consider those that have taught me. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, your Sunday school teachers. On Father's Day, I believe it was Father's Day, I was speaking to Sardis. And coming home from Sardis, I got on my hands-free cell phone. I phoned up John McClellan. I said, hi, John, how are you? He said, Ron, what are you doing? I said, I'm just driving home, and I just wanted to thank you. It's Father's Day. He said, well, Father's Day? I said, yeah. I said, you were a father to me. Wow. He says, Ron, I really appreciate that. I phoned up Jim Acheson, driving home from there. And I said, Jim, how you doing, Jim? Fine. I said, happy Father's Day. He says, Father's Day? Yeah, you were a father to me when I was at Cascades, and I was a young whippersnapper. Now, I'm giving these examples not to pat myself on my back. No, I'm just giving you examples because it says here that we are to remember your leaders who spoke the word to you. And these two men, I phoned up Mr. Wright, Rob Wright, who was one of the elders at Cascades for years. And I thanked him for being like a father to me. I didn't have a father. I had two fathers and four mothers, but we won't go into that now. But that's what the Bible says right there in verse 7. We are respect them, honor. Thank your elders. Thank your deacons. Thank your Sunday school teacher. Thank those who have taught you over the years. And God will bless you for it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I just love that verse. Jésus ne change pas, no jamais. Jesus never changes. But he wants us to change. He wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to stay in the same place. He wants us to move on. We don't change necessarily our beliefs, but we should grow in those beliefs, have more confidence in those beliefs, and God will certainly bless you. Grace. Hebrews 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremony food, which is of no benefit to those who do so. And here again, the writer is writing to the Jewish people who said you have to go and do all the ceremonial feasts and all those kind of things to be a part of the family of God. And the writer here is saying, no, yeah, that's not necessary. Grace, the favor that God has given to us. As we carry on here very quickly, Hebrews chapter 13, 10, what a beautiful verse, isn't it? We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. And of course, Jesus Christ was sacrificed on that altar. And one of the other subjects I've been spending all year on is the tabernacle. And it would just be beautiful to see how Christ is pictured in the tabernacle. The high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most high place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp, because that sin figuratively goes from that person onto the animal, and that animal takes the place of the person, and they take the body and they burn it outside the camp. And that's not a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is outside the camp also. It says, and therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, suffered outside the gates in Golgotha. Jesus died. He took our place, just like that animal in the Old Testament took the place of the person who brought the animal to the high priest. Jesus Christ has taken our sins from us. We are to praise him and we are to thank him. He has done so much for us. Yes? We find that we are to give of our time, our talent, and our treasures, as we find in the Word of God here, so clearly, so beautifully written. Benefits and a farewell. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the wonderful thing about this book is. Christian living requires strength, and that strength will come through the prayer and the importance of praying, 17 to 19. Are we praying, Christians? Do we take time to pray? Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for some of our leaders. I haven't put all you ladies down. I don't know you all, but God bless you. And we are to respect one another, and we are to give thanks to these people who help us. We are to be thankful Christians. We are to be Christians that are different. We are to be obedient Christians. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us in the last verses here. We are to be honest, and we are to be united together. And as we respect and honor our leaders and look after our leaders and pray for our leaders, as we work together as a body of Christ, that's what it's telling us here in this thing. And I appeal to you, brother, bear with a word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words, knowing that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I see you if he comes shortly. And Paul, the writer here, finishes off. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy sends their greetings. May God bless you. I'm kind of quick. I've gone a few minutes over time. I apologize. It's just so exciting. So much good stuff here. When you get home, read it again. Father God, again, as we go downstairs, we ask your blessing. We thank you for the dear people who are here, Lord. We thank you that they are being obedient to your word and assembling together as believers. We ask your blessing upon them. Bless the food that's been prepared downstairs, and bless the program later on. For we ask this in Jesus' name, for his honor and glory. Amen.